Chapter 20. Of Israel's bondage in Egypt, their deliverance, and their passage through the Red Sea. 34. That people then, having been brought down into Egypt, were in bondage to the harshest of kings, and taught by the most oppressive labors, they sought their deliverer in God. And there was sent to them one belonging to the people themselves, Moses, the holy servant of God, who, in the might of God, terrified the impious nation of the Egyptians in those days by great miracles, and led forth the people of God out of that land through the Red Sea, where the water parted and opened up a way for them as they crossed it. Whereas when the Egyptians pressed on in pursuit, the waves returned to their channel and overwhelmed them, so that they perished. Thus then, just as the earth through the agency of the flood was cleansed by the waters from the wickedness of the sinners, who in those times were destroyed in their inundation, while the righteous escaped by means of the wood. So the people of God, when they went forth from Egypt, found a way through the waters by which their enemies were devoured. Nor was the sacrament of the wood wanting there. For Moses smote with his rod, in order that that miracle might be effected. Both these are signs of holy baptism, by which the faithful pass into the new life, while their sins are done away with like enemies, and perish. But more clearly was the passion of Christ prefigured in the case of that people, when they were commanded to slay and eat the lamb, and to mark their doorposts with its blood, and to celebrate this rite every year, and to designate it the Lord's Passover. For surely prophecy speaks with the utmost plainness of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it says that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and with the sign of his passion and cross, you are this day to be marked on your forehead, as on the doorpost, and all Christians are marked with the same. 35. Thereafter this people was conducted through the wilderness for 40 years. They also received the law written by the finger of God, under which name the Holy Spirit is signified, as it is declared with the utmost plainness in the gospel. For God is not defined by the form of a body, neither are members and fingers to be thought of as existent in him in the way in which we see them in ourselves. But, inasmuch as it is through the Holy Spirit that God's gifts are divided to his saints, in order that, although they vary in their capacities, they may nevertheless not lapse from the concord of charity, and inasmuch as it is especially in the fingers that there appears a certain kind of division, while nevertheless there is no separation from unity, this may be the explanation of the phrase. But whether this may be the case, or whatever other reason may be assigned for the Holy Spirit being called the finger of God, we ought not at any rate to think of the form of a human body when we hear this expression used. The people in question, then, received the law written by the finger of God, and that in good truth on tables of stone, to signify the hardness of their heart in that they were not to fulfill the law. For as they eagerly sought from the Lord gifts meant for the uses of the body, they were held by carnal fear rather than by spiritual charity. But nothing fulfills the law save charity. Consequently, they were burdened with many visible sacraments, to the intent that they should feel the pressure of the yoke of bondage in the observances of meats, and in the sacrifices of animals and in other rites innumerable, which things at the same time were signs of spiritual matters relating to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Church, which, furthermore, at that time were both understood by a few holy men to the effect of yielding the fruit of salvation, and observed by them in accordance with the fitness of the time, while by the multitude of carnal men they were observed only and not understood. 36. In this manner, then, through many varied signs of things to come, which it would be tedious to enumerate in complete detail, and which we now see in their fulfillment in the Church, that people were brought to the land of promise in which they were to reign in a temporal and carnal way, in accordance with their own longings, which earthly kingdom nevertheless sustained the image of a spiritual kingdom. There Jerusalem was founded, that most celebrated city of God, which, while in bondage, served as a sign of the free city, which is called the heavenly Jerusalem, which latter term is a Hebrew word, and signifies by interpretation the vision of peace. The citizens thereof are all sanctified men who have been, who are, and who are yet to be, and all sanctified spirits, even as many as are obedient to God with pious devotion in the exalted regions of heaven, and imitate not the impious pride of the devil and his angels. The king of this city is the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, by whom the highest angels are governed, and at the same time the word that took unto himself human nature in order that by him men also might be governed, who in his fellowship shall reign altogether in eternal peace. In the service of prefiguring this king in that earthly kingdom of the people of Israel, King David stood forth preeminent, of whose seed according to the flesh that truest king was to come, to wit, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. In that land of promise many things were done, which held good as figures of the Christ who was to come and of the church with which you will have it in your power to acquaint yourself by degrees in the holy books.